Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, April 22nd. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're heading to the short track at Richmond, three-quarter mile. This coming Saturday night under the lights for the Sprint Cup Series and Friday night for the Nationwide Series. And my guest tonight will be helping me provide the information for the entertainment this coming weekend, President of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer. Dennis, welcome back to the show. It's been a few.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, that's good. As everything gets revved up for this coming weekend, you got a bunch of things going on during the week here. How'd you manage to, I heard you had an event going on. I guess you wanted to get out of that and call me instead.
Yeah, we just wrapped that up a little bit ago. We did an event at the Children's Museum in Richmond. We launched a display, interactive display for kids. It was at their Chesterfield location. Of course, we know Chesterfield, the home of Denny Hamlin. So now it's just moved to the central location, the kickoff race week. And Sam Hunt, another local racer, K&N series, races late models around the area, came out and helped us relaunch it at the central location. And he read a book to the kids, and we had a good time.
Kids all love all that good stuff, and it's good stuff to hear. And seems like you got other things going on this weekend as well. It's not only a two-night event, but it's a three-night event. A doubleheader this coming Thursday with the Blue Ox 100, and then following that, the Denny Hamlin Short Track Showdown.
Yep, yeah, we kick it off racing on Thursday, and then I even forgot that tomorrow night we've got the Michael Waltrip and Martin Truex Jr. coming into town as well early for an event at the Flying Squirrels, which is our double-A baseball team. So there's a ticket package tied to that, and they're throwing out the first pitch, and that'll be a lot of fun. You know, it's never boring when Michael's around. But then, yeah, you're right, Thursday night, the two races, and then Friday night, the Toyota Care 250 Nationwide Series race, and, of course, the Toyota Owners 400 Sprint Cup race on Saturday, and all four of those races, four races and three nights under the lights.
And guess what? I'm actually going to be there this time.
Hey, good, good. I was going to ask you about that. That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm finally getting a chance to come down to your fine facility down there and cover a race weekend. I should be hitting town sometime Thursday, and I guess by the time I check in the hotel, I'll shoot by the track. Sounds like you guys are open from 6 a.m. till late at night, early the next morning. So where do you guys find time to catch a nap or something?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I was just going to say, I don't think we'll be able to get much sleep. So last year at this time was my first experience with the Thursday night races, and we, you know, our ops guys and facilities guys, man, you got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, we've got two racing series to move out of the garage, and you know our infield's already pretty tight. Nationwide will already be parked because they got a practice session on Thursday, but then we got to get the garage cleaned, and then the Sprint Cup Series guys move in Friday morning at 5:30 in the morning. So last year they were done with everything at 2:20. Caught a couple hours sleep, and then opened everything back up for the Sprint Cup hauler. So our guys, we don't get much sleep on race weekend, that's for sure.
It sounds like it. I think the fact that it's being a night race and the limited space you have in the infield, you have to turn that right around. And if you were able to, I guess, run a day race, you'd be able to get some sleep at night, because then you'd all head home for a few hours.
Yeah, it's a much different schedule than what I was used to where I worked previous, where we had, you know, Sunday afternoon races and everything. But, you know, our fans, especially in this region of the country, they really like their racing at night and under the lights, and I'm glad we're able to deliver that for them.
And when Richmond did go to the under-the-lights racing for both races, I figured that would be a benefit, too, because of the fact that, like you said, fans like racing under the lights. It seems to bring out something in the drivers that you usually don't see during the daytime. And but, you know, with all that going on, and you've got Krispy Kreme and all that working the track as well, it seems like you have, they'll be there all weekend, and looking at your website here, the food vendors and national brands, you got some new food options. And what are you going to get, a little upscale on the...
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it's one of the things we really wanted to do was get some of the local flavor going. So, you know, barbecue's big here, and Buzz and Ned's, they're the best. And I know Buzz has been working on a secret sandwich that he wants to unveil on race weekend for our race fans. So we're hoping that it catches on like the Martinsville hot dog has. So we'll see on that. And then Hardywood Brew is a local craft brew and pretty well known in this area. So, you know, I think our local fans will appreciate having some restaurants and things that they like, you know, they see on a regular basis. But our out-of-town fans, I think they're in for a real treat when they try some of the local fare.
That's something that I'm looking forward to. Unless I want, you know, but then again, with all the racing going on, I'll probably be at the track close to all day and all night Friday and Saturday. So
you got to make your way over to the Midway at some point and check out all the festivities over there. But, you know, Friday is an interesting day at the track, as you said. We are nonstop with cars going around. And, you know, between nationwide practice and qualifying and two cup practices and qualifying and a nationwide race, there's hardly a break on the track, you know, except for like 10 or 15 minutes in between sessions.
It seems that it doesn't seem like that. And I guess being a rookie media member at Richmond, I guess I'll have to have some get pointed in some direction at least I'll catch with your director of public relations, Amy Turner, who I have had on the show plenty of times and have yet to meet her in person. So that'll be a first. So hopefully I'll get to meet you there as well. You hang in the media center or do you get one of them swanky suites out on the...
No, I come and go in and out of the media center. I'm in and out of there a lot. You know, I came up through the ranks through the PR side, so I love... visiting with the media folks that, you know, I worked with for a long, long part of my career. And, yeah, so I'm in and out of there a lot, so I definitely look forward to meeting you. And we've got a really good PR staff, so I'm sure they'll point you in the right direction and make your visit a good one.
I'm sure they will. From what I can gather, just talking to them on the phone or getting stuff set up for my man who couldn't make it this time, which allowed me to... I was going to come down anyway, but he couldn't make it, so I had to bring another assistant. But that's okay, you know, this way get the full experience there and actually see what goes on. Anything else we have, like pre-race festivities that'll be going on there? I know due to what happened in Boston a couple weeks ago, security is going to be at a maximum. And is there anything that incoming fans need to know before they get there and have to – walk through the gates?
I think the biggest thing for the fans is to go on our website and look at our grandstand policies and what you can bring in and what you can't bring in. And I think the biggest thing that we would want to say to the fans is give yourselves a little extra time. I mean, you know, we're going to continue the efforts that really have been put in place since 9/11. We really haven't backed off of those over the course of the last 12 years. So really the back checks are standard for us. We're just making sure that the people that do that for us are very diligent in their approach, and I'm sure the fans will appreciate that. And then, you know, we always work very closely with local law enforcement, so I think you'll see an increased presence, but at the end of the day, safety is what matters, and we need to be safe, you know, and provide that enjoyable environment for our fans.
And usually at a race, they can get away from all that stuff there. And, of course, tickets, are they still available for the weekend? I see where you're announcing being able to purchase on mobile devices now. But I thought you guys are on the cutting edge of how to get tickets there at Richmond International Raceway.
Yes, sometimes I feel like we're playing a little bit of catch-up with that. But, you know, we got this new gate structure that we built on the front stretch, and with that allowed us to really update the technology and stuff. You know, we've been using scanners for a while, but now to be able to, people can download their tickets right to their mobile device is really cool. It's a nice addition, and everyone, you know, everyone seems to be going to that more and more. But, yeah, tickets are still available. You know, we'll be selling tickets right up to the, you know, the start of every race, including Saturday, and just really want to encourage the fans to come out, go to our website at RIR.com, and you can buy tickets online, print them out at home, or certainly you can buy them when you come to the venue, but I always like to encourage people to buy in advance, secure that seat, and then head on out. We don't charge for parking, so that's a plus, and that helps save everybody some bucks as well.
Oh, that's a real big plus. I know a lot of the other tracks do charge you for parking, and that could be anywhere from $10 on up, and the fact that you don't charge for parking should that's another couple of beers or maybe one of the new sandwiches you could try out.
That's exactly right, yeah. You know, and I think that's been a big part of what our company's done, you know, since Mr. France started running and owning racetracks. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, that helps the fans. You know, they go to a lot of other events in the area, whether it's football or baseball or college sports or whatever, and, you know, pay a pretty good chunk to park. And for us to be able to allow that and deliver that to our fans, I think is a great benefit for our fans. Plus, you know, the ability to bring in your own food and beverage, as long as it's in the approved size cooler and carrying case, I think that's another tremendous benefit for race fans as well.
That way you don't have to worry about when you run out of your cooler full, you can always go to the concession stands and buy more.
Yeah, that's why we add things like Buzz and Ned's and Sweet Frog. That's another one. That's a Richmond-based company. It's a soft serve frozen yogurt, which is delicious. I know the kids will love that because I know my kids do. And then you know, Papa John's pizza, and I mentioned Hardywood. So all that adds to the experience of coming to the race. It's just not about the cars going around the track anymore. It's about everything else that goes on as well.
And a lot of that is out in the midway, or is that actually just around the track itself? I'm trying to formulate a mental picture in my head of where I need to go.
It's all out on the midway, out on the front stretch. So, you know, right outside of what would be the start-finish line, right outside that main front stretch grandstands is the midway. And we've actually got a very packed midway for this race. I think a lot of the big sponsors in the sport, I've got a lot of cool things going on, in particular Toyota. They got a cool ride and drive opportunity for fans. Chevy has their Fan Fest. That's been a staple at Richmond for a long time. They're under a covered arena that we have, displaying their cars and their race cars, and they get all, you know, I don't say all of their drivers, they get a lot of their drivers to come out and do a Q&A. So that's a cool element as well. Ford will have a big display, AAA. So Sprint, of course, always has a great interactive display. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, the speed stage is out there as well. So there's a lot going on out there.
Sounds like more of any concerts going on pre-race or during the week that seems like as well as Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, people have to start coming in like yesterday. Because all the stuff that goes on down there.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, and that's one of the things we try to encourage the fans too. I mean, we start opening our campgrounds. Some start opening tomorrow, some Wednesday, and then all of them will be open on Thursday. But, the opportunity to get the fans to come in early, check out what there is to see and do around Richmond. Obviously, there's a lot of history around here. Come in early or stay a few days later. That's really what we, you know, try to encourage folks to do because you're right, there is a lot going on here, and it's not just at the racetrack.
I'll know to leave a day earlier so I get there on Wednesday, get all my stuff set up for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and leave Monday instead of Sunday to catch up on what I missed throughout the weekend.
Yeah, sometimes, as you know, these events, they as long as they are, you tend to get tied to the media center and all the activities that are going on because obviously the media schedule is very busy with all the driver interviews and everything and guys coming in the media center to talk about the race or talk about a practice session or a qualifying session. So, yeah, it's there's always seems to be something going on whether you're inside the track or outside.
Well, that's what you want, too, because it keeps the fans engaged and They don't have to worry about getting to their seat until driver intros or whenever they feel the race is getting ready to start. They can go out and have fun, buy their souvenirs, run back out to the car, drop some stuff off, go to the sprint things, see all the Miss Sprint Cups there and try their stuff out. And then, like you said, the other driver interactions and manufacturer displays. There's like so much to even think of to try to do. It's amazing what you can try to squeeze in a weekend. So what time does are people, you know, are the vendors all starting to set up now? Or
most of them will be in on Wednesday and set up Wednesday and Thursday, because, again, having the Thursday races, it kind of squeezes the schedule a little bit. So we'll see a lot of it Wednesday and the balance of it on Thursday, and then we'll be ready to open up late in the afternoon on Thursday around 4 o'clock for the Hamlin Short Track Showdown and the Blue Ox 100K and N race. So, yeah, there's a lot to get done in a couple of days, that's for sure. And, you know, for some of these folks, they got a quick turnaround coming from Kansas.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because of that. Now, Denny being injured in a wreck a few weeks ago, it's still, I guess, if he's even going to drive in anything. But I'm assuming he's just going to be more of a cheerleader again this coming weekend, considering he's got his premier event this Thursday night.
Yeah, he'll be a spectator for the Thursday night event for sure. Matt Kenseth's going to drive the late model car that Denny was going to drive. And, you know, that race on Thursday raises money for the Denny Hamlin Foundation and supports a lot of local charities. You know, and then, you know, I think everyone's still kind of waiting to see what the decision is for Saturday night. It's my understanding he's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I think if there's any chance at all that he can get in the car, he's going to want to do that. The biggest thing is, you know, we want him to be healthy. We want him to be safe in the race car. He's got a great career, great future ahead of him. You don't want him to risk anything. So you don't want him to rush back too quickly and jeopardize things for down the road. But, you know, he'll make the right decision with his doctors, and we'll see where it nets out.
That's for sure, especially Richmond being his hometown track. Growing up, going to watch races there as a young boy, and now he's fulfilling his dream. So who knows? It might be a big press conference on Saturday or Friday.
Yeah, we'll see. And you're right about that. He's been coming to Richmond since he was 5 years old, his mom told me. And, you know, if there's any chance for him to be in the race car, and again, if he can do it safely, then, you know, knowing Denny, he's going to want to do it. You know, the physical stuff, it is what it is, so to speak. You know, I can't even imagine kind of the mental part of this that he's had to go through and not being in the race car, especially when it's at his home track.
Yeah, that's probably more excruciating than the back pain.
Because
you pretty much trust up to that, and it's a matter of just being able to wait it out until they say it's healed enough. And those guys, Denny, you know, and even, you know, other race drivers, they want to get back in the car as soon as possible, and they don't care what kind of car it is. It could be a K&N East car or a late model or anything like that. So when you start talking about the Sprint Cup Series, you definitely want to get back in that, especially when championship points are on the line, and he pretty much has a lot of ground to make up. So I'm sure he's not really ruling, you know, this year, unless he gets some wins under his belt where he could make the chase as a wild card, because it's based on most wins. So really, I guess he wouldn't be out of it.
No, and wins will be what matters when he gets back in the car. You know, he's going to race hard. He's going to have to race hard, but and you're right. He's really kind of at a disadvantage given these races that he's missed. So in the end, I think it's going to have to come down to wins. Well, and we know he can win, right? Didn't he win seven races 1 year? So I don't think trying to find victory lane's an issue for that guy.
No. Nah. So we just wish for his speedy return, and hopefully the doctors will clear him the race, and it'll probably draw a big rise from the crowd at Richmond International Raceway. And the fun begins in a couple days. And everybody head on over to richmondrir.com and buy your tickets and head on down early, because every time I look at your website, there's more fun happening, so get there early.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. I always try to tell the fans that's the RIR.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We love to interact with the fans on Twitter and Facebook, and we pump a lot of information out there as well. But you're right about our website, man. That is we're pushing out all kinds of interesting information pretty much a couple times a day.
How do you find the social media beneficial? Do you find it better on Twitter or on Facebook, or both about
well,
the same?
Well, I'm more of a Twitter person, unfortunately or fortunately. I don't know. I like that interaction. It's hard to keep up with it sometimes, but it's a lot of fun. And our staff, they do a great job on Facebook. They're a lot better at Facebook than I am, but that's a great tool. They're both a great tool for us and helping us get our message out.
Well, I follow you on both, so sometimes I don't even go to Twitter because I spend more time on Facebook. Because I don't type real fast, so maybe Twitter would be better. But Facebook, I could think a little more and I could put more thought into it. So I guess it's a matter of what you have to, what your time is got for you to do, and people that follow Twitter better will be able to follow that more, and there's always ways to link to everything else anyway with smartphones these days. Who'd have thought that brick phone of years ago would turn into what we have now?
That's exactly right, yeah. And you got to be pretty creative in 140 characters as well.
Oh, and it's a good thing way you guys have of getting the word out there. And I urge everybody, like I did when I was broadcasting out of the Philly area, head on down to Richmond if enjoy one of the best tracks on the circuits, because it's one of the few tracks where the action gets tight. It's 400 laps, not 400 miles, so that sense of urgency is there, and they go by quick.
Yeah, they do, you know, especially being the only three-quarter mile track that the Sprint Cup Series races on, so you're exactly right. I mean, yeah, the 400 laps and it's close quarters, very tight, you know, so that makes for a lot of fun racing. And, you know, as the drivers have described to me, it's a short track that races like a super speedway. So I really like the fact that we got a little bit of everything in that three-quarter mile.
That's for sure. When they redesigned it, I guess they did it right, because I think Richmond Interact has superseded some of the high-speed mile-and-a-halves as far as watchability, whether it's on TV or at the event. So, but what do I know? I'm just a media guy.
Well, we can take our cue from Tony Stewart. When Tony Stewart says we need to build more Richmonds, we should be pretty proud of that.
That's for sure. Well, right now you have the crown jewel of short tracks, and figure if anybody else has to build one, then they're going to have to compete for a cup race. So there's unless it's owned by the France family or the Smith family, they're probably not going to get a date where either one of them could move it from one of their mile and a half or milers. So you got two. That's gold right there. So.
And we like our two, and we want to keep our two.
And you have the last race before the chase, which opens another thing of worms, which we'll get to in September, because you have those drivers fighting for those last two chase spots that way.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's where I think, you know, I really like where we are with our schedule, being the ninth race. So when the checker flag falls here on Saturday night, the Sprint Cup schedule will have hit a quarter of the way through the season. So I like that, and then I like being that last race before the chase as well. It puts us in a great spot.
That's it. That sort of draws out the best and or worst in the drivers. It makes it really fun to watch. Well, I better let you get some rest, because you got a busy week ahead of you. If you can, thanks again for joining me, and looking forward to meeting you this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to having you down to Richmond and, and seeing what we're all about, and appreciate you having me on, and enjoy your trip and your visit to RIR.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye all right. Now. Take care. Thank you.
Okay. There you have President of Richmond International Raceway, Dennis Bickmeyer. Nice guy. Looking forward to meeting him this weekend when we go down to RIR to cover the events. I should have scheduled myself a little better this coming weekend with Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but hopefully you have the Blue Ox 100 K&N Pro East race, and then following that, you have the Denny Hamlin Short Track Showdown in the late model cars, where it's a charity event for the Denny Hamlin Foundation. That's a doubleheader Thursday evening, and then Friday's the busy day of the week for the Cup and Nationwide cars. You have practices for and qualifying for the final practice, I guess, and qualifying for the Nationwide Series, and then a couple of rounds of practice and qualifying for the Cup race on Saturday, and then culminating with the Toyota Care 250, the Nationwide Series race. I'm looking already to catch up with rookie phenom Kyle Larson, little Gator Justin Allgaier, probably Jeffrey Earnhardt. Maybe we'll catch up with Johanna Long, having been able to get a hold of her for a little bit. So she runs good there. Last race, she was running in top 10 when she blew a tire. So hopefully she learned from that one, and that ought to be fun to watch. And then we got a lot of stuff lined up for Garage Talk Live. Stay tuned. I might have a good show next Monday. Might do. With all the drivers and interviews I hope to get, we'll definitely have some buying. Now, just keep an eye on Garage Talk Live. Follow us on Twitter, at Garage Talk Live. And whatever we post will be coming down there. So fun stuff coming this weekend at RIR at the quarter pole. So I'm looking to have a good time. I'm bringing my assistant with me, so she comes in dire need. Usually we have veteran photographer extraordinaire Gil Smith covering the race. He's got another engagement this weekend, so he was going to be my go-to guy. Say, okay, what do we do? Where's this and where's that? So I'm coming in cold, and I'll rely on the PR staff at RIR and it's going to be a busy weekend for me. I'm not used to the all-day, all-night races. When we used to hit the Dover International Race Speedway, it used to be get up in the morning, go to the track, get home in time to relax, and carry it on the next day. So with the tracks open, with Richmond opening up at 6, I hope to be there really, really early, especially on Friday, because I'm already lining some stuff up, so hope to have a bunch of interviews next week from this weekend. So it should be a fun time. NHRA was down at the ZMAX Dragway in Charlotte this weekend for the 4-wide nationals. I wonder if anybody saw in the news or some of the maybe Speed had it as well. One of the 4-wide runs, Robert Height's funny car body blew off the car and landed in the stands. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, but it makes for awesome television. Body's a carbon fiber, so there were no injuries. But in the funny car division, Christiansburg, Virginia's Matt Hagen took the win, defeating Blake Alexander of another Virginia boys. Blake Alexander of Smith Mountain, Virginia. They're not too far from home base here, so they were able to couple of local boys say took the top two spots, the funny car division. Of course, semifinalists, Tim Wilkerson and Chad Head. Okay, top fuel was Spencer Massey from Fort Worth, Texas, and defeating Tony Schumacher, his teammate in the U.S. Army dragster, and the speeds. Okay, I'm here giving you the winners without the speeds. Matt Hagen's 4.071 at 315 mile an hour versus Blake Alexander's 416 at 294 mile an hour, and Spencer Massey in the top fueler 3.7 at 325 mile an hour versus. Actually, I'm going to marginalize 9 to the thousandth of a second because it was a 3.771 for Massey and 3.778 for Schumacher, with a difference of 325.45 miles an hour to 320.81. The mile an hour sounds different, like a big difference. There's a bigger gap, but when you're talking 0.007 of a second, you're still talking about a photo finish here, so. In the pro stock division, it was Mike Edwards with the Interstate Batteries Camaro at 6.495 at 213 mile an hour. Was beat our girl, former past guest, I'm going to say former past guest on the show. We'll have to get her back. Erica Ender Stevens, that's her married name, folks. Yes, she got married in the off season with her Camaro at 6.521, 300ths of a second can make a difference. And then in pro stock motorcycle was Hector Arana Jr., a past guest of the show, riding a Buell at 6.896 at 190.73, defeating one of the big Harleys pair, Eddie Krawick, with his Harley V-Rod at 6.924, so again, 3 one-hundredths of a second making the difference in that one. So good one for Hector Arana Jr.'s. If you did, outside of Robert Hoyt's body coming off the car, was it such a good day for John Force Racing? Because Hoyt had tough time of it. John Force right now, let's see, as the points go, Matt Hagen leads the points, 399 to Cruz Pedregon, who's in second, 349. 2 points below Cruz and is Courtney Force. Johnny Gray is fourth. Fifth is Ronnie Capps. Defending champ, sixth is Robert Hoyt. Jack Beckman is 7th, 8th, Del Worsham, 9th, Tim Wilkerson, 10th, Bob Tasca, Alex DeJury is 11th, John Ford is 12th. Top fuel, Tony Schumacher heads the list, defending champ Antron Brown is 2nd, 74-point difference there. Spencer Massey's 3rd. There's a big gap from 2nd to 3rd. Spencer Massey, 370 back. Sean Langdon is 326. And 4th, Morgan Lucas. And 5th, 274. Doug Kalita and 6th, 272. 7th is Khalid Al-Balushi with 252. Brandon Bernstein at 249. And 8th, 9th, Clay Milliken. 235, David Grubnick in 10th, 216, Steve Torrance in 11th at 185, Bob Vandergriff, 184, and rookie, in 13th place, rookie Brittany Force. I got to come back on the show, that's all I'm going to say. Pro stock, Mike Edwards first, Alan Johnson, Eric Enders third, Jed Coughlin in 4th, Vincent Nobile 5th, Jason Lyon 6th, V. Gaines 7th, 8th, Greg Anderson 9th, Shane Gray, and 10th is Roger Brogdon. Pro stock motorcycle, Hector Arana Jr. Scotty Polacek is second. Eddie Krawick third. Steve Johnson is fourth. Hector Arana is fifth. That's a senior. It's Hector Jr.'s dad. Johnny Hall is sixth. Seventh is Jim Underdahl. Eighth is Matthew Smith. Andrew Hines is ninth. And Sean Gann is tenth. So, John Force lost first round to Tasca, Blake Alexander, and Pedregon. Rob Height made it to the second round when he defeated Alexis DeJory and Jeff Arend, and then they lost to Chad Head, Wilkerson, and Pedregon in the second round. Courtney Force lost to Wilkerson, Worsham, Pedregon in the first round. And again, Brittany Force lost in the first round. So we'll have to their next event will be this weekend at the O'Reilly Spring Nationals in Houston, Texas. So I'll have to keep update on the NHRA. And going back to the Nationwide Series this coming weekend. Was off the Truck Series in action at Kansas. Matt Crafton did a pretty good job of getting past and then finally holding off Joey Coulter for the win. Ryan Blaney came in third. Brendan Gaughan was fourth. Fifth was Johnny Sauter. James Buescher was sixth. Darrell Wallace was seventh. Ty Dillon eighth. Ron Hornaday ninth. Tim Peters was 10th. Couple of rough spots. There's two things that don't work together. That's Kansas Speedway and Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch was running fifth. Was running up in the Truck Series race, wound up getting gathered in a wreck. There were 18 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. Kyle Busch brought out the, he was in the 51 truck, so he brought out a spin on the front stretch, lap 15. Then again, on lap 91, he got into an accident with the 77 truck. So he didn't have too good a day there. And then, of course, he spun once in the cup race and wound up plowing into Joey Logano. And that ruined both their days. So he didn't have such a good day at Kansas this week. There were 11 cautions for 52 laps. Time of the race was 2 hours, 25 minutes, and 53 seconds. Average speed at 103 miles an hour, and the margin of victory was 0.167. So that's how close the finish was. Of course, it was all after a restart. And he was able to get the lead from Joey Coulter, taking Ryan Blaney, and they were going head to head pretty good. So he was able to hold off for the last couple laps there. 167 laps was the race length. No overtime this time out. Failed to qualify. Nobody. So we had the full field. exactly 36 cars of trucks made the field. Into the points, Johnny Slaughter still holds the points, winning the first two races. Matter of fact, where did Johnny finish fifth? So another top five has his championship hopes in line. Third win for Thor Sport Racing. Johnny Slaughter with two. Matt Crafton now on the board with one. So right now, Johnny Slaughter leads his teammate by 12 points. Jeb Burton had a decent day. Then he wound up spinning. He was running in the top five again. Watch for this kid. Once he figures it out, he's going to be a star in this series. And the name Burton might help land, but he's still got to drive to maintain sponsorship. So he wound up with 15th place finish. He was a lap down because he had spun out and lost a lap. Brian Blaney, fourth on the board, 33 back. It's the Truck Series. This race will usually go tight till the end of the season. So you can't count anybody in the top. Also, I'll go down to the top 10 right now because Brian Blaney's 4, 33 back. Ty Dillon, 5th, is 39 back. And James Buescher is 6th at 41 back. Brendan Gaughan, 7th, is 46 back. Darrell Wallace Jr. in 8th is 47 back. 9th is Joey Coulter at 49 back. Round out the top 10 in points is at 53 back is Dakota Armstrong. But while everybody in the top 10 is in it, I think it's not going to come down to that. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it shakes out through the rest of the year, as competitive as the Truck Series is. Anybody wants to give me a call? The number is 646-649-1899. We could talk about the race at Kansas. Just so happens that seemed like a pretty uneventful race early on. Matt Kenseth, who won from the pole, he was the third driver to win from the pole this year. Kyle Busch did it last week, and I'm trying to remember who the first one was. So if you want to email me or actually message me on Facebook, you can tell me who that third driver is. I wish I had something to give away. Name the third driver to win from the pole this year besides Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth. Might have been Kyle Busch again, being he's got two wins this year. But anyway, he was going to make a stinker out of it, and then all the fun started happening. First, some caution brought out by Kyle Busch spinning. This slick track has been repaved, graduated banking, new car, and Kyle Busch, not having a good race at Kansas. Just seems to be a track he can't win at or even have a top five at. He had a dismal record there, no matter which series he's driving it, so. Even when they interviewed him afterwards, he says, it's Kansas, right? That explains it. So it was Kansas. Victory driving for Joe Gibbs Racing this year. His second victory and fourth top 10 in 2013. Casey Kane came in second. Thought he was going to have a chance to catch him, but they were running into traffic, and Matt Kenseth was able to get through it. Casey Kane hot on his tail, but it wasn't close enough. Jimmy Johnson, points leader, coming third. Martin Truex, fourth. Clint Boyer was fifth. Brad Keselowski came in sixth. He brought in one of the cautions. He was involved in a wreck, and the back end of his car peeled off through debris on the track. Everybody was waiting for that one, and it came around at the time when they were getting ready to make the last pit stop. Caught a few guys making green flag stops a lap down. So it kind of made things interesting. So it was a pretty interesting race in the second half, not so much in the first half. Jamie McMurray, seventh. Eric Amarola in the number 43 STP Farmland Ford. Looked like the old Richard Petty STP car of yesteryear, same color scheme, being the, it was the STP 400, the king was the grand marshal, so it was good to see him out there starting the field. Then seeing the car out there in his colors. Mark Martin came in ninth. He had a bit of a rough time about there, smacking the wall a little bit. Not enough to ruin the car, but, you know, every little bit of damage helps. Paul Menard rounded out the top ten. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. had a good run. He was leading a few laps as well. As a matter of fact, I'll bring the lap leader run down in a few minutes there. Let's finish out the... Kevin Harvick was 12th, Jeff Gordon 13th, Ryan Newman 14th. Dale Jr. Found his way to 16th. He was up there a little bit and then started out not so good. Danica Patrick finished 25th and started 25th. Well, for sure she might get a lap back, but she wound up going two laps down. She got lapped by Ricky Stenhouse once, and, well, that was it. I'm not going to go there. That didn't sound right. And then Matt Kenseth put her a lap down as well. The 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 51 seconds. Matter of fact, the cup race didn't take that much longer than the truck race as far as overall time goes. Average speed was 133.6 miles an hour, and the margin of victory was 0.150 seconds. So, yeah, it was that close, car length and a half. So, it was Kenseth's third annual. He won the third annual STP 400, his 26th in victory in 480 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races, his second victory and fourth top 10 in 2013. Puts him in the ranks with Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch. There's your answer. Jimmy Johnson won from the pole at Martinsville. And that was the third one, so it was Johnson at Martinsville winning from the pole, Kyle Busch at Texas winning from the pole, and now Matt Kenseth winning from the pole at Kansas. Last time that happened was 1985. Bill Elliott did it twice. Dale Earnhardt did it once. So, and that was the whole season. This season's still young, so it could happen again. So, as far as points go, Jimmy Johnson holds a 37-point lead over Casey Kane. Brad Keselowski, 38 points back. But here's the catcher. Add in that loss of 25 points on the penalty from last week. So you add that in, you're looking at a 13-point deficit in second place instead of a 38-point deficit in third place. So there's a big difference there. He didn't fall that far just on this race. He had some help. Now, That is still under appeal. It came out that six crew members were suspended from both teams. And Paul Wolf and Joey Logano's crew chief were both fined $100,000 each. And, of course, the loss of 25 driver points each. So that's what puts Brad Kay in third place as opposed to second place, considering he had a decent finish. Fourth in the points, Greg the Biff, Biffle, 47 back. Dale the Junebug Earnhardt in fifth, 48 back. Ninth is cousin Carl Edwards. He had a good run as well going. And so he's in sixth place. Seventh is Kyle Busch, 54 back. Eighth, Kenseth, 59 back. Ninth, Clint Boyer, 64 back. Menard in 10th, he's 71 points back. And then Jamie McMurray and Kevin Harvick are in the wild card spots, but that'll settle out on the most wins of who doesn't make the top 10 at the end of the year. So with Denny Hamlin being out due to injury, he comes back and knocks off a couple three wins. From the time he gets back to the end of the season, he could clinch one of those spots. So it's pretty interesting to see how that's going to shake out. So you had 13 lead changes amongst eight drivers. Matt Kenseth dominating that length, leading all the first half except for a lap. That total of four times for 163 laps. Martin Truex Jr., two times for 46 laps. He had a good one going. Stenhouse, two times for 26 laps. Carl Edwards, two times for 19 laps. Everybody else was in single digits. Jimmy Johnson, nine laps. Newman, two laps. And then Stremme and Junior, Dale Jr., each led a lap. Probably on a change for pit stops. Eight cautions for 40 laps. Of course, Kyle Busch being one of the biggest one of the day, Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. At lap 105, so just before halfway, they pretty much ruined each other's day. It's a shame. Kyle Busch was fast. Joey Logano was running pretty good, and it just didn't work out for either of them. So this weekend, we're going to Richmond, and I will be there. Should be an interesting event for me. It's my first covering the action track. So I'm looking forward to a busy, busy weekend. So I should have I'll be doing a lot less talking and a lot more audio playing on next Monday night's show. So, and anyway, I'd like to get some of your calls if you got a chance. Phone lines are still open. The number is 646-649-1899. Don't forget tomorrow night, Low Down and Dirty. We'll come on and Joe Adams, Scott Deal, and Whippy will be on bringing guests from Grandview and the local dirt tracks in the northeast area, up outside of in the Pennsylvania area. And don't forget Girls Getting the Facts on Thursday night with my old co-host, producer Tammy Ullman. So we'll have a lot of interesting stuff coming this weekend. So who are we going to pick for Richmond? Let me see. I think a guy who probably ran good last year, as a matter of fact. You know who I'm going to go with? I'm not even going to waste time. I'm looking at this. Somebody runs good here. I'm going to go with the 18 car this week. So as a matter of fact, I'm going to go to my Facebook page and post that pickup right after the show. Matter of fact, I'll do it now. Anybody want to make a pick? Call in at 646-649-1899 if you want to talk about the upcoming race this weekend or make a pick. We'll be glad to take your pick and put it down. So, if not, we'll have to, you can still do it all week long on the Garage Talk Live page. I'm going to put up things as Richmond Picks, Vince Picks, that's me. And you can hit it on the comment section if you beg to differ or agree with me. All right? So my pick is officially written down. And we'll go from there. All right. I'd like to thank my guest, Richmond International Raceway President Dennis Bickmeyer, for joining me on the air, promoting the event this coming weekend. A lot of stuff going on. I have to plan a little better, but that's all right. I'll be down there in plenty of time to check out some stuff. Maybe I'll use my Thursday to scope out the stuff outside the track and then and we'll see what happens. I'm going to pack some of this stuff up tonight, so I throw it in the car, zip across the state. Anyway, I'm Vince Bonfigli. Say good night, good racing, and we'll see you all next week.